Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode of the Sound Heart Radio. This afternoon, I'm going to be discussing with you a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, or to the church at Philippi. And we believe that this letter was written by Paul between AD 60 and AD 62. Some have called this letter Paul's letter of joy, or Epistle of Joy. In chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we have one of the greatest passages on the deity of Jesus Christ recorded in the Word of God. This is the great kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis. And this word has been translated as the transliterated as the self-emptying of Christ. The self-emptying of Christ. However, this word does not mean that he emptied himself of his deity. What it does mean is that what he did do was to, in his humility, he voluntarily surrendered the effulgence or the full outshining of the brilliance, the effulgence of his deity, of his person. He showed some of this effulgence on the Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, James, and John when he was transfigured before them. And so they saw some of the effulgence of the glory of Jesus Christ shine through the robe of his flesh, that is, the robe of his humanity. And so in Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives us some of his very powerful insight into the self-emptying of Christ. And he writes of that in these words. Beginning in verse 5 of chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul states, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God," that word form is morphe, and it means the outer form of God. It means to express himself as God, morphe, the outer form, "who being in the outer form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That word is isos, equal. It is isos in Greek, from which we get our word isosceles, triune, etc. So, "who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, morphe, of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." So, at the beginning of verse 7, we have the word from which we get our word kenosis. Okay, verse 8, "and being found in fashion, or outward form as a man," or anthropon in Greek, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him not a name, which is above his name, but God has given him the name, the anima, the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so we see that Jesus completed God's plan of salvation on our behalf. And that Paul records in his 13 letters, he records the finished work of Jesus on our behalf. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we read that when Jesus had made satisfaction for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Thus, we talk about his finished work. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." One word in the Greek, tetelestai. Tetelestai was the word Jesus shouted from the cross before he voluntarily surrendered his spirit to the Father. Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now I want you to know, please understand, that Jesus did not fade away, Jesus did not swoon, Jesus was not physically exhausted on the cross, but he voluntarily shouted victory. He shouted the victory that he had achieved for our sin. So do not let anyone take this away from the powerful cross of Jesus. He voluntarily surrendered his will. Now, as individuals, we do not have that option. But Jesus voluntarily surrendered his will unto the Father when he had completed the redemptive plan of salvation on our behalf. Now, please pay close attention to the words that Paul uses. He says, at the beginning of verse 5, "Let this mind be in you which was present in Christ Jesus." What mind? Well, the words "let this mind" in the Greek are in the present imperative past. So Paul is using the kenosis event to enjoin believers to have or to display humility in their life. Paul is using the kenosis as an appeal to humility, because our Savior humbled himself. He took on the form of man for our redemption. Now, please notice the expression we have. The kenosis event takes place first. Without the kenosis event, Jesus could not have been implanted into the womb of Mary, which results in the virgin conception. The virgin conception. After the virgin conception, and then after 9 months, we have the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are individuals who say who's about the virgin birth of Christ. What they really need is the virgin conception of Christ and the subsequent birth at the end of 9 months. So our Savior came into the world. So here is infinite and eternal deity. And now Jesus is deposited into the womb of Mary, and the writer in the Old English calls Jesus before his birth that holy thing, because there was nothing comparable to him, either before or after. He is deity joined to perfect humanity, not fallen humanity. He is the second Adam. You and I read about the failure and the sin of the first Adam in Genesis chapter 3. The first Adam is saved by the finished work of the second Adam, who completed, once again, God's plan of salvation. And so, Paul wants the church at Philippi to understand the importance and the nature of humility. He begins chapter 2 by stating, if there be any consolation or comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, that is, persuasive appeal or address, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there are any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, keep on thinking the same thing, keep on thinking the same thing, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And so he is making an appeal to the church at Philippi to exemplify oneness in Christ. And let me tell you that this is a reality. There are many blessings that flow to the leech. There are spiritual blessings. There are physiological blessings when believers follow the will of God. There are many other forms of blessing that take place when believers are obedient to the will of God. And so, in verse 3, Paul writes, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so, let there be no empty glory or self-conceit. So, in verse 3, he speaks of lowliness of mind. And then in verse 5, Paul begins the ethical foundation for his appeal. And he uses the kenosis. He goes on. And he states in verse 9 that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus was highly exalted by God and given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now think about this. Every knee in creation will bow before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every tongue, even those who deny him now, who write books against the deity, who have written speeches against the deity of Christ, who have preached against the deity of Christ and his second coming and his resurrection, the Bible states that every knee will what? Will bow and every tongue will homologeo. That is, the word confess means to agree with God. Every tongue will agree with God that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, there is a day appointed in which even those who are in active rebellion against the known will of God for their lives, they will bow the knee and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Beloved, now is the day, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Please read John 3:16 and go before God and ask him to say, confess your sins that you may receive eternal life through Christ our Savior. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you. Ah.